This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Good to be with you. Happy Tuesday. And it's a gloomy day. I think we're going to be getting some weather, from what I understand. Looking forward to hearing what Dave Murray has to say about that as we get closer. So stay tuned to hear him today here on 97.1. We've been talking about, just got done speaking with Illinois State Representative Blaine Willauer about how the legislature just slipped in this information about how they are going to take the FOID card program, where you get to get permission from the state of Illinois to own a gun, to possess a gun, to purchase ammunition for your gun. We have that FOID card in the state of Illinois, and they just put with SB 1966 an amendment on there that is going to take the duration of your the fee that you have to pay to get that FOID card, which was 10 years for $10 total. They're cutting the time in half, and they're increasing the fee 500%. So $50 that you're going to have to pay. You're going to have to get fingerprinted, which is going to go into a database, you know, because you're a law-abiding citizen, you're going to do what the law says, and now your fingerprints are in a database because you want to be a gun owner. Sounds like a gun registry to me. This is taking place right now. It just got out of committee in the Illinois legislature, and I really, really, really want you to contact your representative and make sure that they understand that this is impugning on your Second Amendment rights, and you're not going to stand for it. And I don't care if you're Republican. I don't care if you're a Democrat. If you are somebody who loves our Second Amendment, and I know that you exist very fully on both sides, especially in Southern Illinois, you need to be reaching out to your representative right now. Make a contact. Get your voice on the record, because we have lots of Democratic leadership right across the river here in the state of Illinois. These people need to know that if they vote for this and they vote against your Second Amendment rights, they're going to be held accountable for it. We have also been talking earlier today about the 2020 race. We've been talking about Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, among other individuals, and where they're taking this conversation. And we also hear from Jerry Nadler as well about the subpoenaing of the attorney McGahn. And Trump says, nope, McGahn's not going to do this. And McGahn doesn't show up. And now Jerry Nadler is threatening contempt. Turns out that we also hear in the background that the Democratic caucus isn't really digging Nancy Pelosi's non-impeachment stance. Here's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I think that we know what we need to do. I personally believe that I think we have to move forward.
So she's talking about impeachment there. And she and a lot of other Democrats seem to be in the background in closed door meetings with their caucus, with Nancy Pelosi pushing her in the direction of refocusing on impeachment. And here to talk about that with us today, the National Press Secretary at the RNC, Blair Ellis. Blair, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's good to speak with you.
A pleasure is all mine. Thanks for having me on this afternoon.
Absolutely. So Nancy Pelosi has come out and basically said that the president is daring them to impeach him. And she's kind of backed off of this, tried to take the focus of the Democratic caucus and move it in a different direction. But that doesn't seem to be too, you know, agreed upon with all the Democrats in the House. What's she going to do here?
It certainly is not agreed upon. And it's funny that it's starting to kind of come to light. Pelosi has been out there for the last several months talking about how a majority of House Democrats don't want to impeach Trump, that is not the path that they are pursuing, that was never going to be what Democrats would do, you know, when they came into power. And yet here we are months into their reign, their tenure, and all they've done is move and hustle with investigation after investigation. And I think at this point it's clear that she is really starting to face some intense pressure from her liberal base to do otherwise. And There's a lot of disagreement in the Democrat caucus. There's members within her own leadership that are in disagreement about whether to proceed with impeachment. And there's even some divide among different committee chairs, Mr. Nadler being one of them. So she's really caught between a rock and a hard place. And we over here at the RNC are not mad about it, because we know at the end of the day, the Republicans, the American people generally, would love to see Democrats spin their wheels on something as silly and baseless as impeachment while we continue to work for them on their behalf.
What do you think about the committee led by Jerry Nadler really pushing this lack of testimony given by McGahn as another instance of Donald Trump keeping information from the American people and trying to cover up some misdeeds, which, you know, I don't even know what Jerry Nadler would be referring to specifically. I think we have a pretty flushed out Mueller report to look at to find out that this president didn't, you know, try to steal an election from the American people. To me, it seems like these House Democrats are trying to steal the 2016 election from the American people in the midst of moving into 2020. What's Jerry Nadler going for here with this effort?
It's a great question, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, things have really been flushed out. It's really the Democrats at this point that are just kind of trying to spin their wheels, you know, just to keep this Mueller narrative going. All of this really stems back from the fact that the Mueller report did not deliver the outcome, the results that they were hoping for. There was no obstruction of justice. There was no collusion, and it's sad to see that Democrats have nothing else they want to work on or focus on, and so the only target in their eye at this point is focused on Trump, and it's focused on, you know, trying to dismantle the White House and bring them down, when instead, as the majority in the House, they should be proposing policies that are going to be helping and uplifting the American people, and yet all we see them doing is trying to divide and kind of conquer this White House and specifically undercut Mr. Trump, simply because they just dislike and disagree with that Mueller report findings. And it just makes you wonder if they're getting out and they're talking to the American people, which clearly they're not, because if they would start doing so, they'd start hearing what it is the American people are looking for, are hoping for, and what they're wanting is results. And they're wanting Democrats to reach across the aisle and join the hands of the Republicans and get something productive accomplished. Instead, though, Republicans are on their own, and we're not afraid of that. We're not afraid to work on our own, but it'd be nice if we would have some Democrats who'd be willing to come to the table and join us.
Yeah, let's listen to one of these 2020 Democratic candidates speak and kind of weigh in on how he thinks President Trump is going to handle his campaign.
Yo creo que quizás el presidente no sé cómo manejar esta situación de Mayor Pete. I think the president just doesn't quite know what to do with me.
So Mayor Pete thinks that he's just, you know, this enigma for President Trump, and that President Trump doesn't know really how to handle a competitor like Mayor Pete Buttigieg. What do you think at the RNC about Mayor Pete and Trump's ability to, in his words, handle him?
I think that nobody should underestimate President Trump and candidate Trump. He is unstoppable. I think there are a lot of people that wrote him off back in 2016 leading up to that election, and we saw what happened. He came and defeated the unconquerable, the Hillary Clinton, that nobody thought could be defeated. And I think since President Trump's been in office, he's let his record speak for him. He's not left his foot off the gas. He's hit the ground running. He has delivered time and time again on promises, whether it's tax reform, whether it's working to tackle the immigration problem at our border by creating a wall, creating a border barrier. At this point, we continue to see some record economic successes. We saw a Gallup poll today that shows 7 in 10 Americans feel great about the direction that our economy is moving and our country is going. Optimism is at an all-time high since 2000. So people feel good about the results they're seeing because of President Trump. And whether you're Pete Buttigieg or, you know, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, any of those Dems in the 2020 field, they need to have their game face on, because President Trump's record of accomplishments and record of success overwhelmingly speaks well for what the American people are asking for and wanting.
We're speaking with Blair Ellis, the National Press Secretary at the RNC. I'd imagine at the RNC, you guys have access to a myriad of polls and statistics and numbers, and you could probably just, you know, go for days and days and days and just crunch numbers until you're blue in the face or red in the face, I guess. But, you know, we see if you watch cable news And when you read the articles that come across your Twitter feeds and your Facebook feeds, there's a poll to justify anybody's thought about anything at any time. And we hear Joe Biden's got a big lead on President Trump. And you see how the candidates on the 2020 Democratic nominee side, they seem to be jumping and, you know, oh, Pete Buttigieg is the big thing. Bernie Sanders is the big thing. Joe Biden's the big thing. And this continues to happen. But there's still that threat now that Joe Biden is really a great, formidable competitor, according to some polls, to Donald Trump. Now, in 2016, the polls were a joke. They were laughable, at least the ones that us folks here on the other side of the TV screen got to partake in. At the RNC, when you're crunching all these numbers and you're looking at the data that you have, how do you feel about the polls that the American people are served up from a variety of different media sources every day?
So I think if there's, and you kind of you already spoke to this, but if there's one thing that we learned from the last 2016 presidential election, it's that polls aren't always right, and that polls are to a certain degree helpful. But what really matters is having a pulse on the American people and having a pulse on what matters to them. It's being in touch with them. It's talking to them. You can't just rely on polling nowadays to have those substantive conversations and discussions for you. And that is where I think the RNC, the Republican Party at large, takes laps around what the DNC and the Democrats are doing, because we have this permanent field program in place that we've had in place since 2012. We've got people on the ground in these communities that have a constant pulse on what the American people are thinking, what their concerns are, what they need, what they feel like should or should not be prioritized. And lucky for us, we have a president that believes in our ground game, believes in the Republican National Committee's infrastructure, and relies on us to really make sure that he himself and his own conversations and coordination with us can constantly be in tune with what's going on in the American people's minds. And so we don't place a lot of credence in polls, especially this far out, but what we place a lot of weight and priority in is the actual conversations that we have with people across this country and those that the president is having himself. That is what drives our decision making over here.
Do you think that we can look at polls and then we can look at rallies and we can look at Pennsylvania and see how many people show up there, any place that he goes? And you know, I went to the one that was in Granite City when he came here, and they were firing up the furnaces at the steel mill in Granite City, Illinois. And I talked to a lot of people who are steel workers, and I would say to them, can I put you on video and talk to you? And they're all like, no. and they're like, but I love my president. So these are individuals who would talk to me like face to face, but they didn't want a record of that. But they're out there to see the president, so excited to see the president. We see that in Pennsylvania. We see it at these other places. Have you gone to these rallies at all, or do you have an indication of crowd size and how this compares to the support that other candidates have?
I have been to rallies. They are electric. There's nothing like experiencing that firsthand. And you're right. There are people that go to these rallies to hear directly, straight from the president himself. They don't want to hear things filtered through the media back out to them. They don't want to have to read about it, you know, in the newspaper the next morning by a third party. They want to hear directly from their commander-in-chief, and I think that's a big driving point that people go. President Trump knows how to fire up a crowd, knows how to make people excited. And what we saw last night was a lot of enthusiasm in Pennsylvania, and I think that is a testament to President Trump's economic successes and his record of success in that state. We've seen over 135,000 jobs added, created in Pennsylvania. We've seen over 5,000 manufacturing jobs have been created in Pennsylvania since Trump took office. Meanwhile, under Obama's watch, Pennsylvania lost 51,000 manufacturing jobs. We've seen U.S. steel companies announce plans to invest in Pennsylvania. So we've really seen a turnaround in that state. And I think that when you talk to Pennsylvanians, they're ready. They're ready to reelect President Trump because they see what he's done and what he's accomplished for them in their state.
Well, we're going to continue to watch these rallies and listen to what the president has to say, as well as the people challenging him on the other side. But it's always a pleasure to speak with you, Blair Ellis, the National Press Secretary at the RNC. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Yep, we'll be in touch. This just in, I got a text message in the last 10 minutes from Tony Colombo, who's standing right there, and there is a new Randy Quaid video.
Mm-hmm. Oh, snap.
Do you know what it's about?
Mm-hmm.
Should we air it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll do that when we come back.
Sure.
It's a good one.
We speak in Randy Quaid from time to time. Like,
another beauty.
Oh, really?
We want that money back.
It's amazing. We'll listen to it on the break, and then we'll
witch hunt.
Yeah, he's a dramatic dude, but it makes sense. He's an actor. I don't know if he's brilliant or
those videos only have like the biggest one has like 500 views.
How?
I don't know.
I think they're all my views. I think I've watched them 500 times.
I almost regret talking about them on the radio because I want to be in the exclusive club of just a few people
who know. I believe there's only that few.
I don't want it to blow up. I want it to be like our own little secret thing.
Just think of what he could do with a budget.
Witch hunt!
We'll be right back with Randy Quaid.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever he said, because it's going to be great. Randy Quaid. Now, Randy Quaid, you might remember him. If you're like, Randy Quaid, I know that name. Who is that? Randy Quaid, the best, well, he's, what's his name? Uncle?
Cousin Eddie.
Not uncle. Cousin Eddie. It's full. And then my favorite role of his is in Independence Day. He's the guy who is a vet and a crop duster.
Pilot.
He saves the world. He's the unlikely hero at the end. So Randy Quaid on Twitter and YouTube. So I guess it's just part of his thing. He's had rough times. He like tried to extradite himself to Canada and got deported back to the United States. He is the one person
that's ever been deported
who's tried to leave the United States and was forced to go back into the United States
by Canada.
Yeah. And so he's had a rough go, but he's
back, baby.
He's a Trump fan.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a Democrat fan. So he makes these videos, and I will describe it as best I can, but there's nothing like watching him. His face is the entire screen. He gets super close to the camera. He puts a strobe light of colors on his face. So you can't even see like the outside of outline of his face. He's that close. Mm-hmm. You just see like his eyes, his nose, and his mouth. And then he says things.
The Dems are getting another beauty to join their group. Bill de Blasio of New York City. Considered the worst mayor in the United States. Will supposedly be making an announcement for president today. He is a joke. But if you like high taxes and crime, he's your man.
He's there.
New York City hates him.
Why is Trump not retweeting that? Probably because Randy Quaid's kind of loony.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But oh my gosh.
Many of them are Trump tweets that he's reading. Mm. That one I don't think is because I couldn't find it. But yeah, I don't know if he's writing all of them or if he's just finding other tweets that he's reading. But God, they're so funny.
Bill de Blasio of New York City.
If you like high taxes and crime,
he's your guy. Yeah, it's so weird.
He sounds like he's from the olden times. Just the way he
looks like he's from the olden times.
They want that money back.
His top pinned tweet.
Yeah, they are
some
great.
People have asked why I perform Trump tweets. It's because for the past 11 years, I've almost entirely been robbed of reputation and job as an actor by the Googleplex fake news. And Trump writes better dialogue than Hollywood anyway.
Wow.
That's so great.
Dang.
He said on May 18th, he tweets, Trump is the miracle that drained the swamp and exposed fake news. Thank you, God. Hashtag MAGA 2020.
Mm-hmm.
He makes a lot of sense.
He's hilarious.
He's so, I mean, and, you know, like, I don't.
Wacky.
Like I said, these don't, like, they have like 500 views most. That de Blasio one.
We are in the know.
That de Blasio one has like 250 views.
Let's share it. Can we embed it? yeah. and share it. Mm-hmm. Let's get some views. I want it. We've reached out to try to get him on the show.
Yeah.
I don't know what that sounds like. I kind of want him to do the whole interview like that.
Yeah,
you?
I just want him to stay in character. Interview him as Trump. Just tell him to stay in Trump tweet character.
Bill de Blasio of New York City.
Witch hunt!
Wacky. Oh, really? I was going to say, I want to know, like, after you see the video, you'll really know where I'm coming from, but I really want to know, like, what takes place in the 30 minutes before he records and what takes place in the, like, is he like out sitting on the deck with a cup of coffee and a nice book?
How does he choose?
And then he goes and does this. And
how does he choose which ones to read? Which, yeah. Like, what are the ones that strike him? That,
and he's wow, this is going to be great.
That inspire him to go and do it.
At first glance, you would think that he's part of like Duck Dynasty. You would not recognize him whenever you're...
There's a lot of beard going on.
Yeah,
lots
you'd
of beard.
Probably have to be told that that's...
Yeah,
that
you that's would not Randy recognize Quaid. Him.
Mm-hmm.
He has more current ones than that up right now on his Twitter account.
Really?
How many is he making a week?
He's got nothing else to do. Four. It looks like one a day. 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th.
That de Blasio one's from the 18th.
Yeah, and I mean, like, he has... The let's see, there's one called Treason.
That's
they're to like 50, 80 retweets.
Yeah, it's not a thing.
Even if you hate Trump, you could easily retweet this and make fun of it.
How many Twitter followers does he have?
Gosh,
are you on there right now?
Yeah, I just got to scroll. Yeah. 94,000, over 94,000. He's following 508 people.
You'd think that it would be bigger, like, it would be getting more attention.
I love it.
I love it.
Let's talk about the...
breaking news.
Yeah.
Got some breaking news here. St. Louis Cardinals have tweeted out that due to forecasted severe weather
tonight...
Did you just
say doo-doo?
Doo-doo. That's the forecast is nothing but a bunch of doo-doo.
You did.
The
roll the tape. You just
doo-doo.
Said doo-doo.
Roll the tape.
I
doo-doo.
I agree.
Oh.
I'm sure I did.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Due to doo-doo.
Weather.
Yes. Due to doo-doo forecasted severe weather tonight, the Cardinals game has been postponed. We will play a split day-night doubleheader tomorrow versus the Royals starting at 12:15 and then again at 6:45 p.m. The whole series, it was just a two-game set with the Royals. It was supposed to be today and then tomorrow afternoon. So they're just going to play the whole series tomorrow. So it'll be a day-night doubleheader, and that opens up pretty much everybody's night.
Yeah.
For the Blues game. It also alleviates a whole lot of traffic issues downtown.
For sure. Did I get you?
Not getting me today.
Oh, darn it.
Cardinals
not
playing
today.
The Cardinals playing tonight along with game six being right down the street. You know. So this will open that up. Cardinals are playing two games tomorrow.
And Thomas Helbig at the Frontenac Hilton. All that traffic.
They say fans holding tickets to tonight's game should use those same tickets for tomorrow night game because
it was scheduled as a day game.
Tomorrow's game
that's kind of weird.
Yeah, tomorrow's game was scheduled to be a day game.
Yeah, you would.
So if you had tickets for tonight, they're good tomorrow night, not tomorrow during the day. So.
So the second game played tomorrow is tonight's game.
Is tonight games.
And the Blues are going for an opportunity to win tonight to be in the Stanley Cup.
Yes, if they win, they are in the Stanley Cup Finals. If they lose, they have to go back to San Jose for Game 7, which is fine, but we don't want to do that. This just in.
I watched a
Dave
minute.
Murray says the forecast is doo-doo.
Perfect. Very accurate.
We got a special guest going to call us.
Bill de Blasio.
It's not.
Is that who it is?
It's
Bill.
Maybe. Honestly.
If you like high taxes.
If I could talk to any, like my top
and
guest
crime.
Get right now might be Randy Quaid.
Pressure's on.
Yeah, man.
What's he going to say? That's the thing. Like, I know how to ask questions that I'm 90% sure that I know what the answer looks like, but interested. I don't know what that guy's going to say.
I would
love it. Best kind of interview. We're all going to be surprised, and my hand will be on the dump. So it'll just be great.
He doesn't cuss in any of them.
He doesn't, but you just never know.
So Katie's been tasked with trying to get Sarah Sanders on the show. If we get Sarah Sanders available and Randy Quaid available at the same time, what do we do?
Gosh, what a predicament.
Sarah Sanders is on the Annie Fry Show.
I'd make anything happen to listen to Sarah Sanders.
I love her.
She's great.
I love her. We'll be right back with a special surprise guest on the Annie Fry Show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And signs of the apocalypse in just a second to go anywhere.
Bill de Blasio of New York City.
We're having a lot of fun. It's gonna happen.
Closed them all.
Here it comes.
I'm not gonna
maybe argue. Because I don't even care enough to read your thread, let alone watch your effing town hall. Good on at Fox News for inviting you, knowing regardless of viewer expectation.
Who's that? I wrote that?
You wrote that. You wrote that.
I didn't write a bad word, did I?
Mm-mm. No, you put a capital F and a capital N.
Fox News.
Oh, I like FN.
I'm like, that doesn't sound like something I would tweet.
Mm.
Fox News. Although it works both ways.
It does. That's how my mind reads them.
Did you? Your effing sound.
Dirty mind. Like dirty mind.
Yeah, for sure. Did you?
Sex always risks pregnancy. If you're not ready to risk it, then yes. By all means, hashtag sex strike away.
Follow me at Annie Fry Show. Do you know who we're talking to now? Did you see the guest sheet, Tony?
It's not on the guest sheet. Mm-hmm. I know who we're talking to, but it's
it
not
is on the
guest,
sheet. Look.
It says.
Oh, right. There
call
it is.
Frank.
It is
Frank.
It.
Welcome to the show.
Frank.
Hey.
Daddy. We're so happy for you. Are you rested?
Oh, come on. Nobody's rested when they have a baby, right?
No.
That's what everybody told me, and everybody's right.
So what's it like? You and your beautiful wife, Katie, welcomed Felix into the world on the 17th. Is that correct?
On the 17th, yeah. So
barely.
Very, very early, 5 minutes after midnight on Friday morning.
So you went through everything in the hospital, everybody is healthy, and you bring the baby home, and you don't get to take the nurses, and you don't get to send the baby to the nursery. How are you doing, both of you, at home?
That's the big surprising thing. You don't get to take the nurses with you.
You're like, wait, what? You can't let me leave.
it's like those first 2 days are... Okay, you're in the hospital, everybody's helping you out, and then you come home, and then you got that first night, and that first night is...
You'll remember that for the rest of your life.
Is, boy, how did this happen?
Yeah.
Second night was better.
Driving away from the hospital? That's when it, like, crashed down. You're like, there's this baby in a car seat in the back, and you're like...
And I took it out of this hospital.
They're just letting me go home with this thing. Like, what now?
Fools, let us leave the baby. We don't know what we're doing.
What in the world do we do now?
So are you adjusting? You've been home for a couple of days now. Are you adjusting okay? Or what's the hard part, and what's it like being a mom and a dad now?
It's great. It's the start. It's great. But yeah, absolutely. It's adjusting to the whole new presence in the house, and changing things for his schedule, because it's like, he's hungry. We're gonna deal with that right now, and then we're gonna deal with changing a wet diaper. Then we're gonna deal with making sure he's warm. And
you're counting diapers.
Yes, there is. We do have a diaper count.
You're tallying. There are apps for that. I'm sure Katie knows that, but there are good apps for tracking all of that. Because I recall with all three of my kids being at home, and you kind of go into this abyss of time. And the only reason you know it's daytime is because it's light outside. You feel the same all the time. I remember being up at 4 o'clock in the morning and just being so grateful when like the news started being live again and not recorded reruns of things. And the sun would start to come up and then I would be like, I'm not the only one awake right now. It's just kind of a stressful thing.
It is. And but along those lines, Katie was like, what day of the week is it?
Exactly.
It really doesn't matter what day of the week it is.
Well, we wanted to say hello to you and let you know that we're all very excited for you and for Katie and Felix, and we're all praying for an easy transition. And any baby pictures that you want to send us, we are very happy to share because we like baby pictures.
Absolutely. We are totally feeling the love of everybody, all the friends and family and comments, and we will take them all. Thank you so much.
Do you have Blues gear for Felix to wear tonight?
We do have Blues gear. I don't think we have any infant sizes, but I know we've got multiple sizes.
Just put them in one of your jerseys.
Yeah, we'll just throw them in one.
Wrap them up in one. If you could get us a baby Felix Go Blues picture, we'd love to share that tonight, if you got one.
I would like to point out, and I don't know if I'm going to jinx it, we are 2-0 since he's been alive.
Yeah, Felix, woo! Absolutely.
Yeah, let's keep that going.
Well, we're going to be cheering for the Blues tonight, and the only advice that you're not asking me to give you, but that I will give you, is that the lack of sleep, it's all a phase, and it's all a series of phases, and you will have moments where you feel like this is never going to end and you want it to end, and then you'll have moments where you feel like you never want it to end, mm-hmm. and then you realize it's going to end. It's kind of parenting in a nutshell. So just enjoy every second of it and take naps every second you get the chance to.
Absolutely. Well, we are, and so it's 18 years of these phases.
Well, these days and age, if they're like the millennials, maybe 25, 26.
Yeah, okay.
Keep it on the backyard.
It's all up to you. Don't screw it up, Frank.
No.
Absolutely not. You never would. Thanks for coming on with us. Enjoy
Bye,
your
Frank.
Afternoon.
Bye, Katie. Bye, Tony. Thank you, Annie.
Go Blues. You're welcome. And to Katie and to Felix. That is, of all the life experiences, being married is weird. I remember waking up the day after my wedding and like being like, this is like forever, you know, like but it doesn't really change your lifestyle, mm-hmm. especially, you know, you've been dating, you've been together for a long time. When there is a new human whose existence depends on you.
Oh gosh, I can't even imagine.
It's nuts.
I can't even imagine that feeling.
When Grace was born, I was 25, I think. I had a truck that only had a front bench seat that you couldn't even fit a car seat in. Christine had a Chevy Cavalier, that two-door, that didn't have that the air conditioner was broken. And that's the state of life mm-hmm. we were in.
Yeah.
And we put this baby in the back seat of her red Cavalier and left the hospital. And I remember,
but only when you didn't need to use air
conditioning. We looked at each other as we're driving away from the hospital, and we're like,
"Are they sure?
There is a baby in the back seat.
It's crazy.
What do we do with it?
It's not time to rethink things, but we've got to like level up here in our responsibility.
Do you think it's hungry?
How did you guys? That was such an excellent question about the first night. I couldn't imagine closing my eyes and not watching that baby for 24 hours.
You might not.
I just couldn't. I mean,
eventually your eyes close for you.
Right. Your body breaks down.
But I'll say, I remember the first night we had my oldest son home, and we got home. We had him in a bassinet in our room, and we got the room all quiet and dark, and it was silent in there. And he was a great sleeper, and you turn the lights off, and you lay in bed, and you lay real still, and in 10 minutes, he's crying. Mm. And it turned out that the advice we got from the nurses, when we were like, he will not sleep. Like, he is cool all day long, but then when you put him down to go to bed, he just is not interested in sleeping. He's not even sometimes crying. He's just awake and squawking and stuff. And they said, well, if you think about it, your baby sleeps in a bassinet when it's daytime, when there are people around, when you're holding them, which is why they say don't hold them all the time.
Yeah.
But when there's noise and life is happening, that's when they sleep because that's when they feel comforted. And then you put them in a dark
room,
in a quiet room, and they're like, they open their eyes and like, what's happening? So for 3 months, we slept with the light on and talk radio on all night long, and he slept.
I would turn the hall lights on and walk under the lights.
Make them
close their eyes.
Exactly. And it's
freaky.
Weird because that's like playing a video game and finding a secret passage door that lets you cheat to like the third level from the first. And that one tip that someone just happened to give you is a game changer.
That first one is, like you just said, Kate, like, you don't even want to take your eyes off of the baby. Is everything okay? What are we going to do? Is it?
And also, it's your baby.
And then by the third one,
go to sleep, kid.
They're fine. Here you want, and you're like basically throwing the baby to each other. the first one, you're so careful. Like, hold their head up. Okay, you got her. You got her. Okay, I'm going to let go. You got her. And then by the third one,
you've laid him on a blanket on the bed and the dog's licking his face and you're like, oh, that's cute.
I was going to say, Frank has a dog, so I wonder how that dog is adjusting to that baby.
Have you always had dogs?
Did you have dogs and babies? We had a dog when Grace was, not when Grace was born. We got our first dog when she was four.
We had a beagle mix blue tick hound and this dog was my shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons I knew I was pregnant is because she started treating me weird. And for the entirety of the pregnancy, I would walk in the room and she would lower her head and look at me like up out of her eyes and she would growl. She never did anything to me, but like I changed to her.
Wow.
Had the baby. She was on my lap all the time again. Isn't that crazy?
That
like
is
how
crazy.
Smart dogs are.
They are.
Hey guys, don't forget, tonight's Cardinal game has been postponed.
And you can use your tickets from tonight's game.
Weather forecast is doo-doo.
Tomorrow,
officially.
Somehow we summed up the entire show like that, and I don't really know if that's a great thing or a terrible thing. You can follow me on Twitter at Annie Fry Show, and maybe Tony will continue to read my tweets.
I think we should do it
a la
week.
Randy Quaid, which is really going to change how I tweet. Kind of excited about
this. Be good.
Go buy your Dave Glover Show live tickets. He's coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.